The first gong is meant to call you to attention. Second, to drop you into your body. The third, I don't know. All I know is after the third, I start to feel that I'm here. I'm not there, I'm not then. I'm not when, I'm here. Once I'm here, I at least arouse the intention to have my senses open, receptive, my body mingling with the space of awareness, space of my mind that has no limits. Feeling my body mingle with that space until there is not two. There's just sensation and space as one thing. And then when I start to notice the rise and fall of my chest or belly, it's as though my whole nature, mind, body is all breathing. Life is breathing, because also no separation from life. So life is breathing, and I want to connect with that feeling of the breathing body, the breathing life, and I want to stay with that experience. Knowing that as life breathes an in-breath, the mind is with that. It's empty of its usual preoccupations. As the body, mind breathes out, it empties of concerns of yesterday and tomorrow. And I fall more deeply into the direct experience of the living present, which is, I say living because there is a feeling of aliveness, which is really so different than my thoughts of past and future, which are mental fabrications. Yet if I'm able to notice thoughts of future and past, they also are part of the breathing life. And I hopefully, and you hopefully, enjoy the whole display of experience that presents itself. Life breathing, life displaying sounds, life displaying moods, life displaying a whole array of thoughts and images. Letting the breathing body of life be our support or anchor to that living present. But other than that, not looking for any experience. Not being selective. With a non-interfering awareness. Welcoming whatever comes. And then as it goes, say thank you for coming. Goodbye. And continuing to empty and make yourself available to whatever presents itself next. what may present itself in the gaps between breaths and thoughts will be the silence that pervades everything. That some would say underlies the whole of life and death, our deepest nature. No need to think about that, just let life breathe. See what comes, see what goes. Just be aware. When you become absorbed in some kind of thought world, fantasy, plans or memories, when mindfulness rises up to notice that, even if there's been a long drift in a dreamscape, when mindfulness rises up to notice that, celebrate. The fact that there is now awareness reemerging. You've reached the mountaintop again. Survey the view, and in support of remaining anchored to the living present, we feel our body again, feel life breathing. Just this moment, just this breath, or whatever can be known in awareness. Soft mind, but alert and awake, even at the end of the day. Intention very gentle, yet precise, clearly knowing what's present. Just this. whatever you're experiencing right now is the right experience, because it is reality, it's what's happening. Awareness just knows what's happening. Doesn't try to do anything about what's present. Doesn't try to undo anything or evaluate anything. Just knowing that whatever rises fades. Whatever arises and fades need not be taken so personally. Just let it go. Let the body breathe. Let the in-breath go. Let the out-breath go. Let the sensations come and go. Let the moods come and go. Cling to nothing. Just be aware. Is there awareness right now? What is arising in awareness? What is being known? And what's the attitude of mind that is meeting the experience being known? Is the attitude open and receptive? Is it resistant, contentious? Is there a desire for something different to be happening? Is there wanting in the mind? Just know awareness, the object of awareness, and the state of the mind that's knowing, quality of awareness. Just this moment. As always, a pleasure to sit with all of you. In fact, I was so eager to sit this evening that I forgot to have us all say hello to each other. So please, right now, feel free to unmute momentarily, say hello. Feel free to say where you're calling in from and just make a big mess for a few moments. Not cling to our silence.
Hello. Hi from Victoria, BC, Canada.
Hi, Annalisa from Oakland, California.
Nancy from Richmond.
Hi from Canada.
Perry from Victoria, Canada.
Hi from Canada, Regina.
Yay, Regina. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Yay, Canada. Nashville.
Yay, world.
Yay, world.
So, just love to hear if there's anything that popped up during the sitting that felt like a question or inspiration, a concern, a topic for the benefit of all of us. Feel free to raise your hand, little hand that's under the reaction category and or under the participants box. Carol, please feel free. And just to say that you are under the helpful hands of another Howie this evening. Howie Gelman is my co-host. And thank you, Howie, wherever you are. I can't see you. Oh, there you are, under Mission Dharma.
I'm meeting here.
Thank you.
I was feeling a lot of pressure in my throat. I had an argument with a friend today. They were just being really critical, and I'm kind of done with not standing up for myself. So I spoke my truth in a big way. So I just kind of let that sit for a while. Bravo. And so got a claim, like a wage claim against my former employer. So I have a lot of stuff coming up around standing up for myself, and I'm really feeling it in my throat.
Yes. Are you feeling it with some caring, some kindness?
Yeah, mostly. That the thing that really hit me was that my friend really went at my throat. I'm a healer, and my friend pretty much attacked that aspect. And so it was just kind of like, wow, you know, kick me when I'm down. So
I'm sorry.
Just trying to get through all this paperwork, and it's a lot. So I'm just glad to be here. And it really helped to clear for me. Like I'm actually really strong, but like when it's just like one thing after another, it's just like gets to be a lot. It's a lot of money that they owe me, and they don't have the money, so nobody will assist me because lawyers don't want to work for free. Mm. So so it's just pushing through. But I feel it just so much coming up out of the throat area, you know, all relating to that. So yeah. Sitting helps, actually. It clears it a lot. Emotions, you know, best
pillow way to pillow screams are also useful.
Yeah, definitely.
But
I just want to get it off my chest. Sometimes that's a lot.
So there are a few messages in the chat sending you hugs in case you didn't know.
Thanks.
So there.
I'm highly clairsentient, so thank you so much.
Pleasure. Glad you're here, Carol. Good luck with everything. Anyone else? It's interesting tonight. My impulse, I don't know whether it will happen because I often change based on what happens during the sitting or what I hear from you, but what kinds of thoughts that I'm in the role of sharing. But tonight I had really wanted to talk about how to purge our hearts from so much ill will and anger. And just was thinking about that today. And so Carol mentioning that she was attacked and criticized. And usually whoever does the attacking has some kind of ill will that they're not working with. They have, and that ill will doesn't have much to do with Carol. It has to do with the reactive mind that that we have. It's been too convenient and actually endorsed in our wider circles to act that kind of ill will out and not actually sit with it, ride that way. Last week, I think I read from Sam Keen when he talked about substituting or feeling our tenderness, feeling our grief, feeling often the underlying sensitivity that if we could feel, we'd less likely defend it with being so angry and seeking vengeance. And how we get war out of this world was by wakening to the tenderness of our hearts. And so I appreciated Carol's expressing her tenderness. As yogis, strong yogis, she talked about being strong. Strong yogis aren't just like this. Strong yogis are tender. I don't know how many of you have had the good fortune of reading a famous Dharma book by a wild teacher named Trungpa Rinpoche, who left a lot of trails of difficulty in some people's lives, but he also left some incredible books. And one of them was called Shambhala, The Sacred Path of the Warrior. And he, in a chapter in the book, he said, you know, a warrior, the whole practice that we're doing is about becoming a warrior. He says, but a spiritual warrior or a meditative warrior is not somebody who, when they're a warrior, you hear Beethoven symphony. It's a warrior who is someone who has recognized that the tender heart of sadness. And he says that it's very similar as we awaken to this warriorship. It's very similar to a reindeer who, a baby reindeer, when they're just starting to grow horns and they have these bloody, lumpy growths on their head and they don't quite know what to do with them. But as the reindeer, as the horns grow, I guess the antlers grow, sorry, the antlers grow, the reindeer begins to realize that it should have these antlers and becomes quite proud of them, passionate about them. And it's the same with the tender heart of warriorship, as we realize, as we deepen in our understanding, that we are meant to be tender and we become passionate about our tenderness, not trying to be so defended. And if we could be more tender, we would be less angry. But Isaac, please, I notice you have your hand up. So let's shift gears and we'll come back to any stray thoughts.
Hi, thanks. Carol, I'm sorry to hear about your trouble. It reminded me, I wanted to ask about, let's see, how do I say this? I feel kind of like the state of the world and also reflects personal things going on, sort of a decompression happening and some heavy emotions that I had dealt with 6 months ago or 9 months ago or something, coming back. And it's not that I don't think I buried anything, but things are still there and they're coming up. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm I really like the idea of not clinging to things and sort of just being aware of emotions and things as they flow through. But I'm wondering if there are ways to go after it in a little more active way during meditations and sort of getting down in there and finding and questioning these emotions and trying to bring them up and look at them more intentionally and help them move through.
And may I ask why you would want to look at them more closely?
To understand them and to let them go more fully, yeah. Thoroughly, I suppose.
Yeah. Generally, for the purpose of that kind of understanding, learning about them and what's driving them and, you know, why you're feeling the way you are, that's more in the realm of a more analytic kind of attention. Meditative attention is curious, it's completely open, but it doesn't have an agenda. And even the agenda of having understanding is not so much the understanding of a particular event, because events and the emotions that come with them are endless. So you solve one riddle of why you feel something and something else comes. But what it does ask you to do is begin to see with an open heart, with kindness, the commonality of all the feelings that you have and learning how to navigate them and recognize them as changing conditions, as not so personal, as contingent on circumstances, just not get so bound up in them. So it's much more the letting go is not getting rid of, it's not solving a riddle. It's really saying, oh, this is a changing condition. This doesn't define me. And when I let myself feel them, when I let myself just feel it as the internal weather that's presenting itself, it tends to lead to feeling greater confidence and strength. And if I do meet my experience without much of an interfering or analytic awareness and really let it impinge on my heart, my body, let myself actually feel it, it's often that kind of intimacy with the experience itself that will glean any meaning that the meaning will emerge from that, not from thinking about it, not from solving it as a problem, but from being with it.
So more in the body and less in the
body,
head.
Okay. However it is that the emotion is being known, if that's what's happening. But we don't go looking for experiences with meditative awareness. We basically put our trust in awareness, put our trust in the quality of awareness. We work with the quality of our mind that knows so that it's open, non-reactive, and then we just take whatever comes. And if some insight knowledge comes about an emotion or about all emotions, great, but we don't try to fix anything.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's in general. Having said that, sometimes when we're quiet and we are already tender and feeling something, it's also quite useful sometimes just to drop in the question, what's this about? And then from that more reflective, meditative point of view, without a big agenda, just wondering, what's this about? And then seeing what emerges. And it may cause some little stream of thoughts or reflections, and it's more of a kind of reflective meditation, and that's fine too.
Sounds like the lightest handed approach that you can manage to just nudge one way or another.
Most essential is that you're not problem solving. Because all that does is reinforce the ego, the identity of the one who has a problem that needs fixing. It binds you in time. It says, I can't really be happy now. So you really want to find your balance right in the middle of whatever you're experiencing.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I saw Jason had his hand.
Thanks, Howie.
Hey, Jason, good to see you.
It's always great to be here. I have a couple of things I wanted to check in about. First of all, I wanted to say that I've experienced a lot of emotion in a new way since I've been meditating. And last week I had a really hard week. It just, things were just churning up and it's confronting a lot of pain. And I was able to sit with it and I was able to allow it to happen, which I think I've spent all my life trying to avoid it. And that's really a huge change. And I think it's the practice of sitting with it that has changed. And I got through it. It took like 3 days. And actually sitting together and on Saturday morning was kind of where I was able to kind of, I did the half day. But anyway, sitting through it really helped. Just wanted to say that because that's something that I can hear is a little bit of a theme, like how do you deal with strong emotions? And I just was able to sit through them in the first time and talk about them in a way that was new. Like I was able to recognize and say, I notice I feel this way.
Great.
That felt really good.
Everyone else, just know I did not hire Jason to to advertise.
I'm learning a lot about practicing this through the pandemic. It's been a huge, because I've had a lot of strong emotions and trying to sort it all out. And it's been the sitting and the focus on noticing has been really helpful. And one thing I had a question tonight that's more technical, that was I sat through and did a lot of counting tonight. I was counting my breathing. And I don't often, sometimes I feel a bit like I drift really easily if I don't have a center or focus. And so I was just going to ask, you know, I do some counting sometimes and I do some other kind of maybe metta, but I was wondering if you had suggestions for ways that we can get ourselves to stay in the present while we're sitting, if we tend to drift off, if our mind gets really engaged in things.
Yeah, well, we have, for most of us, especially if have busy lives or work lives or whatever, we are more practiced at drifting off and more practiced at having our minds be maybe trained to do the work that we do. But when we're not focused on that work, our mind tends to not be trained and interested enough in what's happening in our mind and body. And I think that interest grows as one flexes that muscle, it gets stronger. And to add to the general habits of mind, or, and I don't say habits in a critical way, just what we practice more in our life. To add to that, in the evening, we often don't have as much mental strength. So there's a lot more tendency to drift. We're a little bit more weary. We tend to be more dreamy, more drifty. So, you know, before all the particular skillful means like counting or connecting with the body, connecting with the breath, opening to sounds, freshening the senses, first, I would sit up really straight. I wouldn't lean. I would put a little forward tilt on my pelvis and have my back be free. And then I'd really establish an alive body awareness. And that makes a difference, And then counting is fine for the purpose of anchoring the attention here and, you know, collecting the mind. But in general, in this particular practice, insight meditation, we use whatever is happening, something that's always happening, as our anchor. So it's a little less conceptual, like counting, but counting's great. Counting's fine. And metta as a conceptual practice is beautiful. It's the best use of our conceptual mind is to plant the seed of goodwill, or to remind us of that being our so much important part of our nature. So I'm not sure where else to go with that, but.
That's helpful though. I think sitting up straight I'd like to find a place where I don't need those structural things. They'd help, but I feel like that's probably asking too much. I mean, I am learning how to sit through 45 minutes without constantly budging and nudging myself. And
I think that building continuity of practice throughout the day is an energy builder. as a concentration builder, as a mindfulness builder. I would say tuning into when you do practice, tuning into when I invited everyone to notice, is there awareness? What are you aware of? And then maybe the most important thing in my own experience of what I added was, what's the state of the mind that's knowing? Are you trying to make something happen? That's greed in the mind, and that will make you tired. Mm. That will exhaust your mind. It'll make you want to be anywhere but. And then the last thing is, if there's straining in the mind, if there's resistance in the mind, all those mental reactions actually also diminish our energy. So just tune into that, and often it's gladdening. So I think maybe we'll just go with the, thanks for your comment.
Thank you, Harry.
Jason. Gabriella looked like she had her hand up.
Hi.
So good to see you.
Hi, Howie. It's good seeing you.
In person. I can see you sitting on the left side of the room, my left on Tuesday nights.
Yeah. I don't have a question. I'm just want to share that it's been very difficult the last couple of days because my brother is on a ventilator.
So sorry.
He has COVID. And as you know, my whole family is in Brazil. So I'm just having a very hard time. I guess I just wanted to share, you know, it's good to be here.
I appreciate you putting it out there. So sorry.
Yeah.
How long has he been on a ventilator?
Since yesterday. Since yesterday morning. And yeah, so we don't know what's going to happen, but it's very scary.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Good luck. And I know everyone here is just hugging you.
Thank you.
I would if I could. And yeah, I've been through that, not with my brother, but with my nephew. He was on a ventilator for 18 days.
He's been in the hospital for almost 2 weeks now. And then he got worse and was put on a ventilator yesterday. And I'm sure everybody knows how bad things are in Brazil right now. It's awful. So... thank you.
Well, maybe at the end, if we can hold your brother. What's your, mind if I write your brother's name down?
Yeah, it's Antonio, but Tony. Tony's his nickname.
Okay, Tony. Well, let's just pause for a minute and just hold Gabriella and Tony in our hearts and minds. Just all the goodness, all the well-wishing, all the caring, just let it be like showers. Just total embrace with the deepest wish. To have healing and acceptance. Love, just love. Just bathing in love, all of us. Please let us keep us posted.
Thank you. Thank you, Howie. I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
I think rather than...
numbers in the chat, call me after and I'll do some healing for him remotely. I'm an infinite dimensional healer.
Thank you.
I am having trouble with my, there we go. So I thought, since we're in this, in the flow of this, and Gabriella just certainly reminded me just now of our humanity, our fragility. And you know, on one hand, I wanted to speak about joy. I think the real source of joy is, and the lessening of our ill will, just getting back to the other topic, is being in harmony, in touch with our shared humanity. And I think of the daily reflections that the Buddha recommended, that I think put in the plural, rather than traditionally it's, I am sure to become old, I can't avoid aging. I'm sure to become ill, I can't avoid illness. I'm sure to die, I can't avoid dying. I'm sure to become separated from all that I hold near and dear. My actions are my relations. My actions are the womb out of which I am born again and again, that are based on the seeds that I plant. So sickness, aging, dying, karma, action, and loss. That is true of all beings. And maybe it's not something that we want to think about, but it's not an aberration. And the time of when we experience this is the fact of it is inevitable. The time is uncertain. But I think we really have to prepare. And it's really hard to be in touch with that and have that commonality that we share with all beings in our hearts, in our minds. It's hard to keep up our resentments in the face of that. So let's try to phrase it differently. We will all become older. We can't avoid aging. We will all become ill. We cannot avoid illness. We will all die. And whenever I say this, I think of the fact that all 7+ billion of us will be replaced within 100 years. We all will be separated from all that we hold near and dear. Our actions are our relations. Our actions, what we do with our body, what we do with our speech, what we do with our mind, seeds we're planting. This is the womb out of which we are born. This is what makes our future present moments, our future life. So that leads so naturally into what we want to do with our minds, is incline them toward love, toward forgiveness, toward gratitude. I think it may be a good time to do a practice that we started at Mission Dharma a long time ago, where everyone was encouraged to find a buddy, someone to buddy up with and have a gratitude partnership, where you reflect every day and you share what you're grateful for. start to infuse your mind stream with feelings of gratitude. And I see gratitude as interfacing as a direct result of also reflecting on the five daily reflections. I know somebody who has been doing, somebody I talked to recently who's been doing these five daily reflections for a long time, and they are also someone with a chronic illness, and someone who you could think could easily fall into complaint, into victimization, victimhood, into blame. And yet this person described recently that they spent the entire day in a state of rapture and bliss, and correlated that feeling of rapture and bliss to knowing that they could die in any moment. And you know, and as I listened to someone, I realized I reflect on death is my advisor every day. I just to let you know, this is another reason that why this is on my mind. I am back in Arizona this week with my 95-year-old mother, who is gone from straight. She is literally, she mostly sees her feet unless I actually encourage her to look up. That she's full of life. But she's 95. And besides being a reminder of the natural process of life, it's another reminder that all of our pride in youth, it's insane. And our pride in health, insane. All the things that the Buddha talked about, the three prides, the three enchantments with youth and health and life, they've got to go. They've got to go. It's funny how pride tends to get really shaken when I'm around my 95-year-old mother. Besides being reminded of the inevitability of sickness, aging, and death, I'm also her baby. I'm nobody's teacher. I'm her baby. And I'm reminded that, you know, I'm in the same cycle. I started out some kind of a sparkle between my parents. Just one look, and here I am. It's also mysterious, but any pride in, this is not my fault. So any pride in this life and ownership and, you know, of course we need to advocate for ourselves. We do have individuality, all of that. The Dharma never denies that. The Buddha could really advocate, Carol, just think of the Buddha would really advocate for the Dharma. Could argue a point, fierce. So a practitioner is not somebody that's wimpy, but the Buddha also knew that all of the pride in that is misplaced faith in an identity that just goes along with the body. They're so unreliable. So somehow navigating the world of sickness, aging, dying, the fragility of pride, the tenderizing of our hearts when we see our common humanity. It just seems like this may be at least our small part in purging our both our own individual and our own circles of so much ill will, so much anger. I don't know how many of you have been paying close attention to the George Floyd trial. I forgot his first name, Chauvin. But if we really saw our common humanity, there would not, it would loosen that tendency to treat a person who doesn't look like us, or at least who doesn't have the same shade of flesh, treat them, we wouldn't be able to treat them as any less worthy or valuable. We couldn't just want to rid ourselves of what we don't know how to accept. I can't go on too much about that, but oh, we're at that. I keep seeing the, for some reason on this little laptop that I'm using, I see the chats come up, which I don't see on my own computer at home. They just keep popping up on the screen. I just want us to all dedicate our lives to the lessening of ill will, the intensifying, the planting the seeds of mental action, physical action, verbal action of kindness, of caring. And I think that's enough for tonight. Just a reminder that we are here every week dependent on your presence, which is the greatest dana, but also your support of Mission Dharma. And of course, by proxy, I'm supported by Mission Dharma. So thank you in advance for any support. I think in the chat, there is usually, Howie, are you still, have you put in the links in the chat for how to offer dana?
It's there right now.
Thank you. Anyway, thanks in advance for that. And for anyone who is suffering right now, our heart goes out to you. That would be everyone here in some measure. Anyone that's happy, that's having good fortune right now, our heart is joining you in altruistic or sympathetic joy. We are happy that you're happy. If you are unknowingly causing harm, we forgive you. We understand that most of your actions are driven by greed and hatred and ignorance and not by wisdom. And that's very human. But we hope that that wisdom and love grows in your heart. If you are finding yourself in a chronic roller coaster of reactivity, we wish for you to grow in equanimity and serenity and hope that you find that balance, that inner balance, the unshakable balance that is the nature of your own mind. Settle back into the vast openness and let the storms and the clouds and the reactions, everything come and go. And may you grow in the capacity to experience things without so much reactivity. And if you are wondering what to dedicate your life to, may we all dedicate our lives to the welfare and benefit of all, but that includes ourselves. We share a deep wish that all beings can have happiness and peace, free of so much suffering and the causes of suffering. All beings can know natural peace and ease that is the natural peace and ease of our nature. We wish that all beings can have equanimity and freedom. May we all grow in love and compassion and wisdom.